May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm Sofia Shalabel Yeshai, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now time to start finding your seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Son of Visual Able, Barzilai Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Visual Able now entering the sanctuary. I would now like to present one of the sons of Visual Able, Deacon Buffalo Bill.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. My title today is The Curses of Disobedience and the Blessings of Obedience. Yahweh gives us a choice. He tells us what to do. He gives us his laws, and then he gives us a choice. We can obey and receive blessings, or we can disobey and we can get curses. Please turn to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 30 on page 173. Deuteronomy 30, and let's look at verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Because you are free agents to make your own choice between righteousness and evil, therefore choose life so both you and your children may live. Please turn to 1 Samuel. 15 and verse 3. Now go and attack the Amalekites and utterly destroy them, Cherem, all that they have. Do not spare them. Kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. So this was an instruction to go kill all the Amalekites and their ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. Verse 15, and Shaul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites because the people have spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to Yahweh your father. The rest we have utterly destroyed. Now look at verse 22. Then Samuel said, has Yahweh as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is the same as iniquity, and God worship, because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he also has rejected you from being king. We see that because King Saul disobeyed what Yahweh had told him to do, he was no longer the king. Remember, we must overcome sin. Please turn to Genesis 4 and verse 7. If you do righteousness, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do righteousness, sin is crouching at your door, and the desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome it. Here's some curses of disobeying. Please turn to Deuteronomy 28, on page 169, verse 16. Cursed will you be in the city, and cursed will you be in the country. Cursed will be your basket and your storehouse. Cursed will be the fruit of your body, and the produce of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the land of your flocks. Cursed will you be when you come in, and cursed will you be when you go out. Now on page 733 in the book of Yahweh, Matthias 6, to Matthias 6 on page 733. It says, but seek you first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We have been told not to put our mind on material gain, money, new vehicles, or the newest truck in town, or maybe the newest style of clothes or other desires that Satan has out there to pull us from Yahweh and Yahweh's teachings. Adam and Eve were told not to partake of this lifestyle. And no, it wasn't a rancid apple Yahweh didn't want them to eat. It was an unrighteous lifestyle Yahweh did not want them to partake of. But they were lied to by Satan. Satan told them, as Yahweh indeed said, he said, you won't die. And so they partook of that tree, that lifestyle. On the other hand, when we obey, we will receive blessings. Please turn to 2 Kings 5 on page 305. 2 Kings 5, verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger out to him to say, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, then your flesh will be restored to health, and you will be clean. But Naaman was furious and became furious and left, saying, I thought he would come out in front and stand in front of me to call with the name of Yahweh, his God El, to wave his hand over the leprous spot and heal me. Aren't the Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than the waters of Israel? Can I not wash in them and be clean? So he left and turned in a rage. Then his attendants went to him and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some majestic thing, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he tells you to just wash and be cleansed? So he went down and plunged himself in the Jordan 7 times. And as he was instructed by the man of Yahweh, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Because he did as Yahweh had instructed him, he was no longer leprous. Here are some blessings of keeping Yahweh's laws. Please turn to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 2. And all these blessings will come upon you and accompany you because you obey Yahweh your Father. Blessed will you be in the city, and blessed will you be in the country. Blessed will be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the young of your livestock, and the calves of your herds, and the lamb of your flocks. Blessed will be your basket and your storehouse. Blessed will you be when you come in, and blessed will you be when you go out. Turn to Exodus 19. Please turn to Exodus 19. On page 60, Exodus 19, verse 5. Therefore, if you will truly obey my voice by keeping my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the laws that you shall speak to the children of Israel. So if we do as we are instructed and we put our hands to the plow and not look back, we will be in the kingdom. Now in conclusion, if we do what Yahweh says, we will be his special treasures and we will be in this kingdom. So let's strive for our goal, let's learn what to teach and teach what we've learned. And with that, if you'd all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to Sonny Ujulebo for prayer.
Son of Israel Abel, Deacon Israel David Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Please be seated. If you'll be turning over to Proverbs chapter 26, Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 16 on page 512, because in our day-to-day lives, it's really easy to get caught up in the things that take place, things that are stressful, mistakes that we might make, and fall into a rut, fall into this rut of, you know, you might start beating yourself up for things, or making more mistakes. And in that time of weakness, Satan really, that's what she wants. So she steps in and she tries to make things worse and make things worse and worse. And you start making more negative choices, start, you know, neglecting Yahweh's work. And then you're starting to become, you know, a problem. But that's what Satan wants. So if we do that, we let Satan win. So let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 16. It says, "For though a just man may fall seven times, he will stand up again, but the wicked fall only once into destruction." Now, I want to look at that verse really closely because we have a just man there and we have a wicked man. So, you know, they both make mistakes, they both make wrong choices, but notice what the just man does, okay? He gets back up again and he keeps going. The wicked man is the one that stays there in that rut and allows it to start affecting his behavior, allows it to start affecting his relationship with Yahweh. So notice that that just man stands up again. The peaceful solution teaches us exactly how to stand back up again. In the character unit, the peaceful solution character unit, on page 89, which is chapter 4, it tells us about mistakes, those curveballs and pitfalls that might come up, mistakes that we make, and it tells us how to learn from them. The first thing, and this is the most important thing here, is to acknowledge that you've made a mistake. Okay, if you go and say, you know, get prideful and refuse to admit that you've made a mistake, then you won't get anywhere. Acknowledge that you've made a mistake. Trying to justify a wrong by not being truthful with yourself and others will prevent you from taking steps for improvement. If you remember the three steps to solving all wars, because this isn't only on a personal level. You know, this goes out for nations and for the entire world. You have to admit that, you know, we've made a mistake. Acknowledge what we're doing is not working. So acknowledge that you've made a mistake. The second point says use character to maintain character. You know, if you're examining yourself, it's obvious you're trying to develop a positive character. So use character to maintain character. If you did something that was irresponsible, then be honest with yourself. Admit it and plan to never make that mistake again. In other words, you will always have positive character traits to draw from. Number three, ask yourself, what should I learn from this? This is probably the next most important point here because it's a learning experience. You know, we have to try to start looking at our tests and trials, the things that take place. Instead of looking at them as, you know, problems, look at them as learning experiences. Things that we can learn from, things that we can improve from. That way we don't get stuck in that rut. So change your attitude about making mistakes. Instead, consider them as lessons to be learned. Once you have learned them, just think about how much smarter you can be. So let's think of that also, not only just with the peaceful solution, but also in our day-to-day lives at work in the house of Yahweh. You know, we make mistakes. There's tests and trials that come up. There's all kind of crazy things that take place. But remember, we're all here for the same reason. We're here overcoming, trying to get to the kingdom, trying to get the job that Yahweh has assigned to us. So all those things that take place are learning experiences. Yahweh is training us to where we can handle that job, to where we can be able to handle the universe in the future. Don't put yourself down or call yourself names when you make a mistake. Remember that rut that I talked about, that you can fall back into and start making more and more mistakes. And, you know, that way you just start falling farther and farther away from Yahweh. We're trying to draw closer to Yahweh. So don't beat yourself down or call yourself names when you make a mistake. This will only lead to feeling bad about yourself and a negative attitude. A negative attitude may leave you susceptible to negative influences, which will lead to more negative choices and more negative choices. So that's what we need to do when we've made a mistake. First, we have to make sure and admit that we've made that mistake, acknowledge it with ourselves. In the house of Yahweh, that's why we have counselors and confessions, to repent of sins. And then use character to maintain character. Keep improving, okay? Don't just stay there because you've made a mistake. Keep moving forward and leave it behind you. Now, at times, I mean, Yahweh has jobs in store for us. We all need to remember that. We all need to look at the bigger picture. So at times, you know, things might come up that we don't even expect, that we don't even understand. But we also have to remember, who's in full control? Yahweh's in full control, okay? So he has to teach us. He has to train us. He has to test us. Turn over to Iyob. Iyob chapter 1. Iyob chapter 1. And let's start in verse 8. If you remember, Iyob was a perfect, a righteous, a just man. It says that in verse 1. And in verse 8, Yahweh said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Iyob? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect, blameless, and upright man, one who reverences Yahweh and shuns evil." So he was practicing righteousness, okay? He might have made mistakes, but he always got back up and kept going. He practiced righteousness. So, verse 9, Satan answered Yahweh and says, "Does Iyob reverence Yahweh for no reason? Have you not made a hedge around him as well as around his household and all that he has on every side? You've blessed his every effort and his possessions are increased in the land." So notice Iyob was well off. He was doing really well. But something we have to remember, the universe isn't going to be all bubblegum and candy and roses and flowers and everything else. We're going to have to be training beings who want to throw planets at each other that they should be trying to have peace. And that they need to have peace, and that's the only way they're going to have life, is through peace. Now, we're going to go and train these beings, and they're going to say, yes, we're going to have peace. We see the need for it and all this stuff. And as soon as you turn your back, they're going to want to throw planets at each other again. Okay? So we have to remember, these are some pretty interesting situations we're going to run into in the universe. So Yahweh has to make sure now that we're ready for that job. He has to train us, teach us, prove us, test us to make sure that we will be able to handle that job. So our job is really, really big here. Turn over to Iyob chapter 27. Iyob chapter 27, and let's start with verse 3. Notice that even though Satan, you notice that his sons, a whole bunch of stuff took place with his sons, with his farm, his animals. He was destroyed. He got sick. And a lot of crazy things. If you know the story of Iyob, you know what I'm talking about. A lot of these crazy things took place to where he was miserable. Okay? And if you don't know the story, read the book of Iyob. It's a really informative book. But Iyob chapter 27 and verse 3, he said, notice, even though he was going through all these crazy things, he was still saying, "As long as the breath of life is in me, the breath of Yahweh is in my nostrils. My lips will not utter falsehood, nor will my tongue speak deceit. Yahweh forbid that I should say you are right." He was talking about the people who were saying he did something wrong. Okay, now notice I'm not saying to get prideful here and say, you know, I'm doing everything that's right, so Yahweh's just testing me. Be sure and examine yourself, like we learned in the first step. Examine yourself and make sure that you are right with Yahweh. That is the most important thing. Remember Isaiah 59 tells us Yahweh's hand isn't shortened that he cannot save, meaning he's promised to help us and save us. But remember, you have to make sure that you're right with Yahweh. That's the only way Yahweh is going to be in control of your life, is if you are right with Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. So we have to make sure that we're right with Yahweh. But let's keep reading here. He said, "Until I die, I will not renounce my integrity, my innocence. I maintain my righteousness, and I will not let it go. My heart will not reproach me as long as I live. May my enemies be the wicked ones, and may he who rises up against me be the unrighteous." Notice he's saying that even throughout all these things that's taken place, I'm not going to curse Yahweh. I'm still going to maintain my integrity. I've done what's right. I know I've done what's right. I've examined myself. I've gone to my counselors. I've confessed my sins. I've done everything that's right. And even though these things are coming upon me, I'm learning a lesson from it. I'm not going to curse Yahweh. I'm not going to turn from Yahweh. Okay? Yahweh doesn't turn his back on us if we keep his laws. And if something does come up, know that it's a lesson that he's trying to teach us. So don't forget Yahweh. You have to be right with Yahweh. And that's the only way you can have this confidence, is if you know that you're right with Yahweh. Now, remember, you still have to be humble. Don't get proud and conceited. Let's turn to Iyob chapter 42. We're going through this whole scenario here. Iyob chapter 42. And this is after he had spoken to the counselors that were talking to him. Yahweh had spoken to him through the priest, telling him about his plan and things like that, it's a really informative book. And then he says in verse 4, "Listen to me, I beg you, and I will speak. You said to me, I will question you, and you will answer me. My ears have heard of you, but now my own eyes see you. Therefore, notice this. He had kept Yahweh's laws. He had been keeping Yahweh's laws, but notice what he says here. I despise myself and abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. Here's a perfect man, okay, that's doing the right things, yet he repents in dust and ashes. Notice the humility there. So even if you have examined yourself and know you're doing what's right, it's still the right thing to come with a humble attitude and make sure you praise Yahweh. And make sure, that's why we have counselors, and you make sure you're doing what's right. Repent of any sin that you have. And then notice in verse 10, Job still maintained his integrity. He remained humble. And Yahweh restored the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And Yahweh gave him twice as much as he had before. Who's in full control? Yahweh, all right? So Yahweh hasn't turned his back on us. Okay, just because crazy things are occurring, if we're doing what's right, we're maintaining our integrity, we have positive character, Yahweh's not going to turn his back on us. So Yahweh restored the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and Yahweh gave him twice as much as he had before. Let's drop down to verse 12. Now Yahweh blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And if you look at the beginning, that's double what he had. After this, he lived 140 years, saw his children and grandchildren, so he died old and satisfied with life. How can you be satisfied with life? You have to follow Yahweh's laws. You have to keep Yahweh's laws. You have to be in unity with Yahweh. Remember what Ecclesiastes tells us. The whole duty of man is to reverence Yahweh by keeping his laws. That's the only way you'll be satisfied with life. So remember that, okay? Yahweh tells us that if we do what's right, we will receive more responsibility. We'll get rewarded. Remember the parable of the talents that Yahshua told us. You know, the man that was given 5 talents, he did well with those talents. He put forth his best effort. He made sure he was right with Yahweh. What occurred? He got 10 talents. He got more responsibilities, more jobs, a higher position in Yahweh's kingdom. That's what we need to be striving for. Never forget Yahweh. He's in full control. So, and he's not unfair. Yahweh's not unfair. You know, crazy things occur, but you can't doubt him. He hasn't left you because crazy things occurred. He's not unfair. He's in full control. Turn over to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. Chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, "For Yahweh is not unrighteous. He will not forget your work and labor of love which you've shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." Don't forget Yahweh, okay? Crazy things occur, and I can't stress this enough. If you're right with Yahweh, Yahweh will bless you. So make sure you're right with Yahweh, and he's in full control. So he's not unrighteous. He's not going to forget your work and labor of love. So if we put our trust in Yahweh and we keep his laws, even when he allows things to get crazy, why does he allow things to get crazy? Because we have to learn a lesson. We're going to be in the kingdom dealing with beings that have turned to sin, and we have to teach them righteousness and be patient and humble with them. That's a powerful job. That's a lot of authority. We could easily obliterate those beings that want to throw planets at each other, but then we wouldn't be any better than them. So Yahweh's training us for this position, for this job. So if you remember that he's in full control and you base your life on that and don't turn on Yahweh, he'll keep his promise. He'll guide you through and protect your ways, and he will reward you. If you'll all please stand. I'd like to turn it over to the next teacher, the great Kahan Yahshua Hyler Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. Truly a great blessing and a great honor to speak before the called out ones of Yahweh. Let's start off real fast. Let's get right into it. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1. And the title of my sermon today is, "Why Do We Run When No One Is Chasing? Perfect love cast out all fear." Okay, here in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 1, it's a little bit worded a little bit differently than what I just said, but it says, "The wicked man." Well, we can put woman there too, okay? "The wicked man or the wicked woman runs away when no one is chasing them, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." Right? Now, the King James Version says flee. Right? They flee when no one is chasing them. Right? But the word wicked here is word number 7561 in Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, and it means morally wrong. Right? Morally wrong. In other words, lack of morals, you know, or going against the established rules that you know have been set in order to help build up your character. You know, going against those things that you know have been established, especially here inside Yahweh's house, to get us to the point to where Yahweh can work with us. Right? Look over the first Yochanan chapter 3 and verse 4. And that should be the scripture that pops up into your mind as soon as you hear the words morally wrong. It should be what pops up into your mind. You hear wicked, you hear sin, you hear all these things taking place. All right, this is the first scripture. This is the one scripture pastor always goes back to in every sermon, every newsletter, every prophetic word, because this is the most important thing to understand. Why does a wicked person run when no one is chasing them? In verse 4, whoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And here in verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And he who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of Yahweh was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And here in verse 10, in this the children of Yahweh and the children of the devil are made manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of Yahweh, and he does not love his brother. Or in other words, that is the wicked man. That is the wicked servant. That is the one who's running because of fear. Right? The King James Version says run, or flee, but it's Strong's Hebrew Dictionary, and in the Book of Yahweh we have it translated, runs away. Runs away, it means to flit. That means to vanish real fast, all right? That means to get out of dodge, all right? You're nervous about something, you take off real fast, and you get out of the way. But it not only means to take off real fast or to get out of the way, it also means to subside. And the word subside from Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, it means to become less strong or less intense. It also means to move down to a lower level. This should remind us of some scriptures, of some examples set place inside the Book of Yahweh, of people that became less intense. They fled. They hid themselves. They removed themselves. They stopped coming to Sabbath services. They separated themselves from the body of Yahweh. Why? Because of the sins that were going on inside them. Sometimes it's things taking place within our lives and we don't realize it, but it's a pattern that's leading to sin. And that's what we have to realize, and that's where it has to stop. All right? Don't wait until the point in our life where it gets to sin. It has to stop when the pattern begins. And that's why we have the house of Yahweh here established in these last days, to teach us the pattern of righteousness and the pattern which leads to death and destruction. And it's up to each and every one of us to choose this day of who we will serve, Yahweh or man, the lust of the flesh, the things that bring forth death. We'll be looking over to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. It's on page 949. This is one thing that we have an example, and Pastor just covered this the last time he spoke, of about hiding ourselves, separating ourselves from the body. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. And look at verse 24. He says, and let us consider one another, how we may urge one another on towards love and righteous works. That's our goal. That's our job here, is to urge on one another by our righteous works. To set the example. How do we teach? It's not just by words. It's just not by speech. It's just not by reciting things that we've learned and that we've held and we've retained in our memory. It's about showing it forth in our character and forth in everything we do, every choice we make, every decision we make. It's about setting forth that perfect example. In verse 25, it says, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together as the some manner of some is, but exhorting, right? That's to esteem. That's to build up. That's to help someone, to help exalt them, to help build someone else in Yahweh's house. And that's our job. It's not to tear down everyone around us, but it's to build them up. And we build them up day by day by us putting our shoulder to the plow and working, getting our job done to where we can be a fine example to everyone around us who's being tested, who's being tried, who feels maybe they need to start separating themselves because it's just test. It was much easier when I was back out in Egypt. It was much easier when I was over here or when I was in this work area or that work area. I didn't have the problem with my supervisor then. I was speaking to a brother earlier this morning, and it was about a work order, and he made the word mention, or he mentioned the words, yes, but it hasn't been pressure tested. He was talking about his propane lines. And I was like, that's us. You know, you can spend all your time doing all the work to get plumbing, you know, propane lines, whatever it is, setting forth, but if you don't pressure test it to make sure it works, you're going to have a major problem after the job's done. You're going to have to redo everything. That's where we're at right now. Yahweh's building us. He's putting us together. He's putting us to use inside of his house. But he has to put us through that test. He has to allow us to be tested with pressure to see whether we will break, to see whether we will hide, to see whether we will tuck our tail and run, or if we'll stand in the face of adversity. And like Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1 says, the righteous man, the righteous woman, they're bold because they know they stand sure-footed inside Yahweh's house. Praise Yahweh. Look over to Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, and let's see an example that Pastor uses constantly to help us understand how this pattern leads, what this pattern leads to. Genesis chapter 3, and look at verse 8. Now this is speaking of Adam and Eve, all right? They already committed the sin, right? The thing's already taken place, all right? They had already allowed Cain, who was of the evil one, who was teaching against the doctrines of the house of Yahweh, who was trying to pull people out of Yahweh's house. They had already fallen prey to the wicked man. They had already fallen prey and given ear to it. They had fallen into this sin. And here in verse 8, then on that day they heard the way of the Father Yahweh according to the word of Yahweh, the law and the prophets being proclaimed in the garden. The words of Yahweh are proclaimed here every Sabbath, brought forth to a dying world inside the righteous tree, the only established tree that can bring forth fruits of righteousness. Being proclaimed in the garden, so Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh among the trees of the garden. So they were out in the mist. They were still halfway in, halfway out in the world, but they felt more comfortable being outside the sanctuary, being outside the people of Yahweh, being away from it. Why? Because it feels easier to sin. You have to put effort into practicing righteousness. Sin is easy. The pattern that leads to sin is real simple. Satan makes it very simple. We all have sin with us, and Yahweh created us with a carnal mind to have the desire to sin. But just like he told Cain, he says you must overcome it. The desire is with you, and we can overcome it, or he wouldn't have told us we could do it. And in verse 9, when Yahweh called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So Adam said, "I heard the word of Yahweh being proclaimed in the garden, and I was afraid because I had sinned, and I hid myself." I separated myself. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we feel or we justify, I don't want to be a part of the drama. I want to separate myself from that drama. I don't want to be a part of it. Write this down. I don't want to hear that anymore. Let's not say I don't want to be a part of the drama, but rather boldly proclaim that we have the only solution. We don't want to separate ourselves from the drama. We don't want to sit back and just be a critic pointing out how everything's done wrong. We want to become the solution, using the peaceful solution, using Yahweh's law, statutes, judgments, and ordinances, and working together to bring forth about a solution to the problems that we keep complaining about. If we see problems, if we see things that maybe we don't understand or we don't agree with, it's up to us, each and every individual, to correct that within ourselves and to get it right with Yahweh. And then to be an example to everyone else around us. Be turning over to 1 Yochanan chapter 4 and verse 18. It's on page 966. First Yochanan chapter 4 and verse 18. Now, speaking of fear, they run from fear. And here it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has torment. Who fears is not made perfect in love." Right? Fear. The word fear, it means to expect or to worry about or to be afraid. To be afraid or to worry. Now, there's a fine line between having common sense and understanding the consequences that come from poor decisions and fear from the unknown. Yahweh's law teaches us to choose between the righteous and the unrighteous, to distinguish between the clean and the unclean, the holy and profane. You have to weigh out. You have to use self-control at all times to make a decision, whether it brings forth rewards or it brings forth consequences. But when we can't boldly stand on that, maybe we're not sure on what consequences would come from that decision, or we're not sure of what rewards would come from it, we make mistakes or we make poor decisions. And now the consequences come and we're worried about it. We're fearful of what's going to come because we didn't make sure that it was done according to the pattern that was established in Yahweh's house. So instead of seeking Yahweh's house to find out if it was according to the pattern, we hide ourselves. We separate ourselves. We fail to communicate. When we fail to communicate with each other, that's a sign of disrespect. We fail to communicate with the authority that's over us, that's disrespect. Right? There's no worse feeling in the world than to have somebody that's in authority over you just simply ask, why did you not ask me? Why did you not talk to me? Why would we not discuss this first? It was because of fear. Plain and simple. Fear of not knowing you're making the decision right or wrong. But if it's done according to the pattern of Yahweh, you know for sure it's done in righteousness, and you will bring forth rewards. You will bring forth fruits befitting righteousness. You will do as the exact same thing as Abel did. He brought forth a people of Yahweh that was acceptable, holy, and righteous, unlike his unrighteous brother Cain. Perfect love cast out fear. What is love? Look at verse 3 in chapter 5. For this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his law, and his law is not grievous. Perfect keeping of Yahweh's law cast out all fear. Why? Because nothing but rewards come from keeping Yahweh's laws. No consequence is going to come from keeping Yahweh's laws. Blessings, benefits, and rewards. Only consequences come when we go outside that established pattern. That's when we bring consequences upon ourselves. That's when we have fear. That's when we make poor decisions. Yahweh has given us this house in these last days and every tool we need to get us to the point to bring to perfection. We just have to use it. We have to apply what's been given to us. If we apply it, Yahweh can use us. If we refuse it, we don't have much time. Time's running out. There's a kingdom being built, and we can either choose to be a part of it, or we can separate ourselves from it and run and hide. It's our choice. We have to make it. And if you'll please stand, we'll go ahead and close there. I have the privilege and honor to turn the services over to our next speaker, the great Kahan Ilya Hyler Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. Well, of course, in this world today, one thing I want you to do when watching the news, I want you to remember that a teacher of the peaceful solution must develop compassion and empathy. And that's towards all people and towards all things. Not just the things you want or the things you like, but towards all things. And then the first place we're going to take a look at is in Norway, where they have recently implemented this system. We know it in America as CPS. But they're going in and they're taking these children. And listen to the torment of these mothers as they're taking their children for doing things as simply as an infant who has losing the baby teeth, and the mother just helps the tooth along. It's already hanging there, so she kind of helps it out. How she loses her child over that. And then think about how there's a place sitting on the seven hills of Rome that openly admits they're raping children and no one does anything. Well, of course, that's because that's where CPS is taking these children, to these organizations that are doing these things. So, but watch and remember, there's a solution to it, and solving it is not just standing back complaining about it. There's more to it than that. And then in Europe, there's also a situation where 323 deer were recently killed, and they're blaming a lightning strike for that. Now, think about that. I'm sure it's very impressive. Ask deer hunters what it takes to get 323 deer. And then in Brazil, remember, they just had the Olympics in Brazil. Well, now they're working on, and they've already completed it by now. They impeached their president. Now, why is it important what's going on in Brazil? Well, remember, Brazil is part of the BRICS banking system. Their economy is in shambles, and of course, someone is going to come help them. And why is it in shambles? Why are people pulling out their assistance to Brazil, and why are they changing leadership? Pay close attention, because Brazil is they're living off of the sympathy that is being shown to them by certain governments trying to control that country. And then remember, the love of many has grown cold. There's an 84-year-old mother who cops break into the house. They knock the door down. Whether they have the right to do so or not, it's not what we're discussing. But watch how this 84-year-old woman is treated. An 84-year-old woman, and watch how she's treated. I'm not going to tell you what they do, but at the end, she's crying out to Jesus for help. And obviously, she hasn't been taught. She don't know, but no one has the right to treat a human being that way. So think about that. And of course, she was treated that way due to the actions of her son, is what they're saying. Something occurred and she just got in the way, is what they're saying. And then, of course, this Zika. Remember this Zika virus they're talking about? They need to spray, they need to kill, they need to get rid of all these mosquitoes. Well, in South Carolina recently, their plan just killed 2.5 million honeybees on one farm alone. So which do you think is worse, having mosquitoes or not having honeybees? If you don't have honeybees, you're going to eventually starve. You're not going to have the food you need. And then there's an article that shows just how important honey is. In fact, they call it the supercharged bacteria-killing powerhouse. It says it's bacteria's worst enemy. Well, and remember, what do you need to eat to know to choose righteousness? Well, of course, honey and butter shall you eat. And then 1 out of 6 hospital beds in America, guess who owns them? That's right, the Catholic Church. They call it CHCS. It's called the Catholic Healthcare System. And 1 out of 6 beds belongs to the Catholic Healthcare System, and they're buying up more and more and more. They're a nonprofit organization that receives money from the government. And guess what? They don't really have much debt to pay out because they're nonprofit. They don't have to report things either. And these hospitals have to operate according to the doctrine that is given from the Catholic Church. Pay close attention to what they say about that. And then, of course, Zika, there's a situation in Florida right now. Doctors are saying they can't figure it out. Of course, they never have figured it out, and they're not going to figure it out until they listen to the one sent. That's what they're missing. And then Syria and Russia, of course, they're discussing a peace plan right now. Even Vladimir Putin saying this morning that he feels that between John Kerry and Sergey Lavrov that a peace agreement can be reached between Russia and the United States concerning Syria. But watch very closely, because the next thing that is taking place, now you have the Ursuluk Air Force Base, which is where NATO is at in Turkey. The United States has their nuclear weapons there. And guess who Turkey just invited to also use that air base? Russia. Could you imagine NATO and Russia on the same Air Force Base with nuclear weapons? That's a recipe for destruction in itself right there. Now, also continuing along with what's going on in the Middle East, well, we see the same things here in the United States. Chicago, and we've talked about the murders in Chicago for a long time. Society, it's in mainstream news. They talk about it. They talk about it. Well, it's getting worse. They just set a record this month for most murders in a month. So obviously, if we know there's a problem, what they're doing is not working. And then they're talking about drought. The drought is gone. Well, Lake Mead just hit a new record low. The only place that you don't have drought in America is you have flood. And you can pretty much guarantee if there's not a flood, there's a drought going on. And then the water is not worth drinking to begin with. That's the problem that we're seeing in society. And then Yemen. What's going on with Yemen? Remember, Saudi Arabia has been bombing Yemen for a couple of years now. Well, Yemen just ended up with a missile, and they shot it and almost hit Mecca with it. It hit the eastern region of Mecca, which, remember, that is a holy site to the Muslims. But they actually are fighting back. And remember Caspar Weinberger, he wrote the book called The Next War, and he was saying that these countries that help these countries that are being bombarded and bullied, well, that country that helps will be considered an enemy. Remember, Iran was the one that tried to help Yemen last time, and of course, Yemen got this missile from somewhere. Watch to see what they do. But also American Red Cross, they're wanting to help Yemen, so they've started donating morgues for help with all the dead bodies. Remember the death that's going to take place in the Middle East and in and around the great river Euphrates. And then the United States, they have recently threatened that if Syria flies another jet over who they're calling their supportive allies, they're going to shoot it down. Syria says if you do, it's going to be an act of war. Not for sure what's going on right now, what that's considered, but this will be considered an act of war. Now, think about this. You could actually go to bed tonight, a missile or a jet gets shot down, a nuclear war in 1 hour could take place. It's not going to take a great deal of time. The emotions are already up. They're already boiling. The minds are already a long way from where they need to be. They're already making decisions based on emotions. All they're waiting for is that one opportunity to justify. Remember, to justify, have a justified war in what they're doing. And now the World Health Organization also is saying that STDs, catch these three STDs, are saying are drug resistant, and you better watch out because they can't do anything. Chlamydia, syphilis, and gonorrhea. Where have you heard that for 40 years? Only the house of Yahweh. And also, the FDA is coming out. Something else you've heard from the house of Yahweh. Pastor brought this out years ago. Something they're going to pull off the market because they said it's pretty much worthless. Antibacterial soap. Pastor brought out years ago that stuff is worthless. And then last but not least, of course, this Sunday, Mother Teresa is going to be made a saint. And all the righteousness she did. But watch what now. Watch what this woman did. Of course, she treated the symptoms and the results of the curse. She never treated the curse. She never was able to do that. Whether she had the opportunity to do it or not is neither here nor there. But obviously, all of these things went wrong, and nothing got better. And they're still doing it to this day. But the very last, watch what they say about this saint or this woman. They're going to make a saint. They said at the very end, she doubted her own God. So, and that's a saint in the Catholic Church. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael Abel Hawkins.
Praise Yahweh. Hey, we got a crowd here today. Praise Yahweh. It's not even fit. Yeah, it is. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The young men today and the old gentleman too, Yahshua Heiler. Well, that sneaked up on me there. But they all had excellent sermons to bring, and they fit right into what Yahweh is wanting you to learn. It's amazing how Yahweh is bringing this about. Now, last week and for several weeks now, we've been harping on the ten kings. The sons of Yahweh fit in that category. And if you are paying attention, you could see that there's actually a trial, a full-time trial, and this is going on here on earth. And where you now, of course, are witnesses for Yahweh. And of course, you stand before this heavenly court as Eob did when Satan put him on trial, when Yahweh, put him out as a righteous person and said, "Have you considered?" Well, this was a trial. Yahweh said, I'm going to put this before heaven and earth to see. And of course, this has been going on ever since that time period. The very fact that Satan said, it's the book of Yahweh that's mixing everyone up. The book of Yahweh is causing all the trouble. So Yahweh said, okay, let it be taken from you. So for 1,500 years, they didn't have it. Now, Yahweh did that so he could prove what takes place when there's no righteousness to be taught, where it's taken away from you. Or who knows when a righteous priest is taken from you? That was the question that was asked. Does anyone even consider? Well, Yahweh had to put all of this in front of mankind. What Yahweh predicted, he put out the book of Yahweh showing what this would bring. What each move that the beastly system, the serpent, what each move that they would make, what it would cause in the way of plagues, disease epidemics, hatred, war, violence, no love, as the young deacon brought out. And then, of course, in the last days, it would get so furious that the earthquakes would start increasing. And Yahshua showed us that in Matthew 24. This earthquake this morning, when they called me about Oklahoma, I told you, you know, for years I never heard of a earthquake in Oklahoma. I've heard of earthquakes, but in California, but none in Oklahoma. And of course, now it says 7 earthquakes today. 7 earthquakes today. 28 earthquakes in the past 7 days. 107. This is just in Oklahoma now. 107 earthquakes in the past month. 2,503 earthquakes in the past year. Now, this is all in Oklahoma. And in every town they name, this Pawnee, I said, oh, I used to live in Pawnee. And then it went from Pawnee through Shawnee. I used to live in Shawnee. Norman, that's where Yahweh trained me in dairy business. Norman, Oklahoma, up through Tulsa, and then on to Coffeysville, Kansas. I said, oh, I used to live in Coffeysville, Kansas. I'd lived in all of these towns. In fact, I would follow the wheat harvest from here to Coffeysville, Kansas, and that's where I stopped. I was supposed to make a bunch of money. That's the reason I was following them, to make a bunch of money. Don't fall for that lie. I did. I'm sorry I did, but Yahweh gave me the experience. While in Coffeysville, he trained me in mechanics. Now, that's a priest. If you think about all the priests and teachers, where Yahweh actually makes teachers out of them, I think sometimes we get the wrong idea when we hear the word teacher and we think, you know, well, this is something that we have to sit behind the desk and just sit there and nothing else. But that's not true. You know, you've got to experience it. Praise Yahweh. And I remember when I was 6 years old being able to milk a cow. Yes, that's part of my training as a priest. How to milk cows. Why? Because you know, we're going to be teaching that, the priests are. We're going to be teaching people how to farm, how to raise food. One of the first things that Yahweh put before Abel was a garden. And he told him, till it, sow it, take care of it. Don't let it change. And of course, Cain saw to it that it did, but that's all part of the training of a priest. That's the reason today they're trained in agriculture, being trained in agriculture. They're being trained in the Holy Scriptures, which teaches you how to keep agriculture perfect. And speaking of that, the seventh year begins, the Day of Atonement. And I've been telling all the elders and all the deacons, all the supervisors, you know, I'd really like to keep this Sabbath year. It's never been kept before. They always find a way to cheat. And of course, in Israel, when the big landowners, you know, when it comes the Sabbath year, they sell their land for a penny to an Arab and buy it back for 2 pennies so they can show that he made a profit, and the Arab owned the land, but they went ahead and worked it and gave the crop, of course, to the owner. Well, this is cheating. They just cheat themselves out of the kingdom of heaven. That's the way they polluted the Sabbath also, the seventh-day Sabbath. But there's still a blessing only to the people of Yahweh, because only the people of Yahweh keep the Sabbath. But there's a blessing. Blessed is the man that keeps the Sabbath. But keep this in mind about the courts. We've been speaking of the original sons of Yahweh, and of course their mother. the gods of the earth, the evil, practice evil and you'll be like my sons. They tested unacceptable for the eternal kingdom of Yahweh. This is the kingdom that Yahshua said, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and its righteousness. Now that's the first thing you have to seek. That's the first thing that we teach the priest, the future priest, and everyone who wants to go to school at the house of Yahweh. We teach them this. The first thing we teach them is about the kingdom of Yahweh and practicing righteousness. That's what's going to get you there. In Eob, we see the Eob 1 and verse 6. We see, of course, the mother bringing her sons before Yahweh. Well, why would she be bringing her sons before Yahweh? Yahweh shows us in the fourth chapter of Genesis that I'll show you in just a moment. But she's bringing her sons before Yahweh, hoping that Yahweh will accept them and put them over the kingdoms of heaven instead of what he said, I'm going to make for my kingdom. They're going to be in my likeness. Did you get that? The ones that's going to take over this kingdom, be given these offices, men, sons, and daughters. He says, they're going to be in my likeness and in my image. But Satan keeps telling the Vatican that she can change Yahweh's mind. Well, of course, and one of the apostles said, look, if he didn't spare his own sons, he's not going to spare anybody. He's not going to change his mind. Surely anyone can see by now what a mess that it would be if the kingdom is turned over to Yahweh's original sons. We get a glimpse of it in the first two verses of Genesis 1, of what takes place when the original sons of Yahweh and their evil takes the planet we're now living on at this time and has possession of it for just a little while. In chapter 1, of course, Satan takes her sons and presents them to Yahweh. And Yahweh, she's always condemning the house of Yahweh. And Eob was standing in first, right in the front line. And of course, he said, have you considered my servant that I've chosen, Eob? And so, of course, she makes some kind of excuse and said, well, cause him a little trouble and he'll curse you to your face. So that's what Yahweh did. The same way when she brought accusations against the book of Yahweh, it was a law of the book of Yahweh that you had to read the book of Yahweh every day in the house of Yahweh. That's a law. That's what we follow in the schools and teaching the priests. The priests who become agricultural teachers, the priests who can do anything. They can do anything that they set their mind to on earth. Yes, anything that Yahweh wants them to do, they'll be able not only to do it, but to teach it. And that's what they're learning right now with hands-on teaching. You want true eggs without high evil cholesterol? I think our priests are the only ones that know how to get it. Well, the eternal kingdom. Well, of course, Yahweh allowed Eob to be tried. And then in chapter 2 or 3, then the sons of Yahweh, the mother says, come on, we're going to show what an evil thing Eob was, and now Yahweh will give you a job in his kingdom. So she brings them before Yahweh again. And Yahweh said, no, Eob's doing fine. He's a very righteous man. You can't question his integrity at all. So, well, skin for skin, you know, take a little of it away and see how fast he'll curse you. So he put him almost to death. He allowed Eob, his servant, to come within a shadow of death, very close to death. But he didn't turn, did he? I want you to turn over with that in mind. Turn over to Genesis 4 and remember this trial now and see what Yahweh is showing here. In Genesis 4, it says, now Adam knew Eve, and then she bore Cain and Abel. And on one of Yahweh's Sabbaths, chapter 3, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering. And then verse 4, Abel brought an offering. And Yahweh said to Cain, "Why are you angry? This is not acceptable in my kingdom. Why are you angry? Why are you downcast?" And then he tells him why. He tells him what's bringing this anger. Yahshua brought this same sermon. And he showed in Matthew 24, verses 11 and 12, he said, False prophets is going to teach you that the laws of Yahweh are done away with. They're going to come against my authority, the authority given to Yahshua, who proved himself too, by the way, clear to death. Proved himself. And this, of course, is what brought the notion into Satan's mind. We're going to have to destroy, me and my sons are going to have to destroy the whole earth and the heavens that go with it to get rid of mankind. And Yahshua said, "You can't." He said, "If that were possible, then yeah, you'd probably succeed." But Yahweh said, "No, it's not possible. In fact, you're not even going to be able to touch this last house." Well, why wouldn't he allow Satan to destroy this house? He's already proved it. He's already proved what takes place. And now, Yahshua said, "Now I am going to build the house of Yahweh, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Now that's Yahweh's word right there. He gives us his word. And he says to me, the one working with Yahshua, "Your seed and your seed's seed, this word won't depart from their mouth ever." What a beautiful picture he's painting for you here of those who make teachers, priests, priestesses, in the house of Yahweh. He's saying you will never be without a job, ever. And of course, he can trust you. He knows he'll be able to trust you. And he's predicting that. He's already prophesied that. Well, but he said to Cain, he says, "You're downcast, you're angry." And he says, "If you do righteousness, you will be acceptable for the kingdom." And that's exactly what Yahshua said. "Seek first Yahweh's kingdom and his righteousness, and you will be acceptable if you practice righteousness." The argument that you saw with Eob, where Satan and her sons come before Yahweh and said, "You don't have one person in the house of Yahweh that you could trust." Now that's the argument she's making. Satan is the accuser of our brethren. That's what the scripture said. That's her office. Well, at the same time, she holds up her sons, as you see in Genesis 3. "Do this, and you'll be filling your desires if you do this. Go to the Six Gods down at Dallas, and they'll have all kinds of free gifts for you there. You can sit on it and get it on your back end. You can go to the restroom and get it all over your hands and face. You can flush the toilet, out it comes into your breathing system. You can get it everywhere you go. Come out of the world." And be you separate, says Yahweh. Touch not the unclean thing. Is that loud and clear enough? A voice like a trumpet, he says, I would have, and a two-edged sword coming out of my mouth. Yes, it is. He's going to cut you to ribbons if you don't turn from Satan. You're going to die with her in the burning hell she's creating. I'm talking to all radio land. There's no one here that I'm talking to. I know that. Well, the UN now is getting excited. 2 million cases. 2 million cases annually, every year. How long has this been going on? I told you, everyone in the world has it. Everyone. The UN is urging urgent and immediate action to prevent the spread of HIV with a stream of new cases bringing to an end a steady decline in the number of infections with around 2 million people now contracting the virus on an annual basis globally. Globally, everywhere in the world. The United Nations AIDS Agency, UNAIDS, says that there are some 36.7 million people around the world who are infected with the number, with the number, is continuing to grow over the last 5 years. We are sounding the alarm, said Michael Sidibe, executive director of the UNAIDS. Power of prevention is not being realized, he said. The power of prevention. Now, I'm sure he's talking about Leviticus, aren't you? Power of prevention. Well, if he had any sense, he'd be talking about Leviticus. Let's look at Leviticus and show you the power of prevention, because that's the only power of prevention that there is. Satan don't have a way. If you saw what's going on, and this is, of course, what's going on in the world today, on the news now, they had it. I hope you got it. One out of every six beds in every hospital in the world belongs to the Catholic Church, belongs to the serpent, the Vatican, that old serpent, the divining serpent. One out of every six beds in the hospital throughout the world belong to the divining serpent. You remember chapter 9 of Revelations and said, even after a third part of man is killed over that fourth part of the earth in and around the great river Euphrates, they still wouldn't repent of the works of their hand, that they shouldn't serve gods, that they shouldn't serve Satan, the divining serpent, and her sons, the evil gods. Well, of course, that word there is used is pharmaceuticals. The money in pharmaceuticals, they still won't repent. They want this money. They want to own the world. Even if they own the world, they would destroy themselves. They can't live in unity with the laws they have. And this is what Yahweh is trying to show them. Here in Leviticus 18, now here is the prevention that they're not acting on, he says. He says, The power of prevention is not being realized. The power of prevention. Well, here is the power of prevention. Now, one more thing I want to get in your mind at this point here. And just hold your place right there and flip back here to Zechariah. Zechariah, I think it's the fourth chapter. Zechariah. I'll find it here in just a second. It's the fifth chapter, and it's verse 9. Now, you see two houses of Yahweh here. They're called In the beginning of verse 4, the lampstands, the same thing that Revelations 11 calls them. The two lampstands, the two olive trees, and then they're called olive branches in verse 12. Because one of them is a branch that branches out from this tree and builds the house of Yahweh, or establishes the house of Yahweh. Establishes the house of Yahweh, then he and Yahshua work together, as Yahweh said. Build the house of Yahweh, and then he and Yahshua, the last part of verse 13, counsel of peace will be between them both. That's the branch that establishes the house of Yahweh in this generation, and Yahshua, who says, I'll build my house and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, meaning they'll make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them. They won't overcome the house. That's the promises Yahweh gives to you in this generation. That's never been so before. They've always been on trial. Get that. They've always been on trial. And Yahweh allowed Satan to have her way to bring forth proof. But notice in verse 9, the last part of this, the job of you, this house, and the job of the other house was the standard of perfection, to extol the standard of perfection. Extol. That's to raise up, to glorify, to magnify, to extol the standard of perfection, which is the house of Yahweh, the laws of Yahweh, separating the ways of the world from the ways of Yahweh. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm separating the ways of the world, which is bringing 2 million HIVs cases annually. That's not all. That's just one. Well, this is our job, the house of Yahweh. This is our job. We're the only spokesman left right now. The other spokesman was allowed to perish. Now, back to 18, Leviticus 18. Keep that in mind now. That's the jobs of these two women. And before the first house was taken away, and Yahweh said, Satan probably said, oh, yeah, you have two houses. They can just teach you anything they want. Well, one was taken away. And now youngest Okie takes over, builds a house, establishes the house, and just exactly where Yahweh said it would be established. Everything is just exactly according to prophecy. So we can't say that we weren't told, right? And Satan too. She would like that. If you go back down to the 18, Leviticus 18, moreover you shall, verse 20, moreover, read verse 20. Defiling yourself. If you do this, if you defile yourself in this manner, you know, after being told not to. Well, of course, this is what a priest is being trained for. This is what we're training the priest. The priest is the voice that the whole universe is going to hear behind them. The priests that are being trained. He may be working in the field. He may be chopping cotton or picking corn or grinding wheat or whatever. Whatever the call may be, but he's going to be playing the part of a priest too, and he's going to be teaching on the Sabbath and the feast days, and maybe a lot in between too. That's what the priests are being trained for, and priestess. They'll be moving people from here to there and getting them set up. Everything is going to be taking place at that time. You shall not give any of your children to pass through this fire, to burn in hell, Ye shall not let any of your children burn in hell. Guide them away from it. Look at verse 22 and read it. Notice this is one of the abominations. The abominations that identify the Catholic Church that sits on seven hills right now in Rome. Seven hills of Rome. Abomination. They bring forth the abominations of the earth. They brought them forth starting in Egypt. The Coptic Catholics in worship of the God started before that with Cain and then went to Egypt, built the Coptic Catholic Church grew, came out of there with Moshe, and then, well, we'll go through that later, but clear to Rome. I'll take you clear to Rome, beyond Babylon to Rome. Neither shall you have, this is verse 23, and defile yourselves with this, causing to the brain, notice confusion, you see that word, and perversion. They're saying now that the brain power, that it's diminishing. And they're finding traces of it where whole cities are a big portion in a city. I was just being told that before I came up here. A portion of a city. They don't know what it is. Of course, it's another stumbling in the dark for a door, like a blind man. But it's getting worse, as Yahshua said. You're going to suffer. You're going to see the worst tribulation ever. And people doing things that you wouldn't think a person could do that could think. But that's it. They can't think clearly. They're confused, as the word says right there. They're defiled. Their minds are confused. So they go into perversion. Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways. For this is how the nations that I am going to drive out, I am going to drive them out. You don't have to. I am going to do this, Yahweh said. And the land is defiled. This is verse 25, 26. You shall therefore keep my statutes. I see there's one more I wanted you to read, verse 22. Verse 22, you really need to read that one. And you need to write beside that in your book of Yahweh, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. This is a reference to chapter Leviticus 18, 22. Now, notice in verse 26 again, commit any of these abominations. Revelation 17, 1 through 5 shows you the Catholic Church that sits on seven hills is the one that has spread this through the whole earth. For all these abominations have the people of the land done who were before you, and the land is defiled. And this is true of all the nations. Look again, verse 28, it shows you the nations, not just one or two, but all of them. Verse 30, therefore you shall keep my ordinance. Keep my ordinance. Commit none of these abominations, and they will prevent you from these plagues. Well, that's what the man says here. He says, the power of prevention is not being realized, or this would not be taking place. He doesn't know it, but he admitted that Yahweh's way is right. The way of the world is wrong. That's our job, to show the world their way versus Yahweh's way. Now, we're in Leviticus. If you look now to Deuteronomy, I've read this to you many times, but I want you to understand that there's a trial case going on here on earth for heaven to see. There's heavenly courts. Well, this is being played out in front of the heavenly courts and in front of the earthly courts too. And some of them are waking up and saying, you know, we need to practice some prevention here. Well, here in Deuteronomy at 30, He says, see, I have set before you life by righteousness, and I've set before you death and destruction. In prophecy, showing, if you remember, the showdown. He actually prophesies the end of this whole mess. Daniel prophesied it. He said he'll be in power up until this takes place. He'll be able to win out over the saints of Yahweh, make war against the saints, and he will be able to win out this beastly system up until the time and times and the dividing of times. We're the only ones that's ever brought that scripture out. We're the only ones that's ever explained it. And Yahweh said we would. Daniel himself said, I talked with one of the witnesses, the one dressed in linen, and he told me this. That's the one that's going to be telling the world. He is teaching, he said. He wasn't teaching me, Daniel said, but he is teaching in a future time period, and I heard him say it. All of those things Yahweh is saying to you about me. The Oki that he started training to milk cows, to chop weeds out of the garden, to draw water with a bucket, to fish a water bucket out of a well, how would you go about that if the line broke? How would you possibly get that bucket out of the well? That was your water supply. Can't do without water too long. These little things were taught to me before I became a priest of Yahweh. That's part of my training. So eat up every bit of it, every bit of the training you can get. Whether it's making a decent hot dog or a well-tasting hamburger, making a gap diet taste delicious. Well, that's a difficult job now. I couldn't guarantee you that. But they're doing it. How to do all of this? Everything you can learn, learn it. That is every righteous thing that you can learn. Because Satan is saying you can't do it and you won't teach it. She's still saying this. Of course, her time is up now. She's already lost it and she knows it. Her only hope now is to destroy the earth because there was no place found for her arguments anymore, so she was cast out. That is also shown. She's cast out, but she still hopes to use the nations to destroy Yahweh's house. Okay, in that I command you, verse 16, this day to love Yahweh your Father, by walking in all of his ways, keeping all of his laws. Now, I want to show you a great deception that we just read it over, but if you had a King James Version, it wouldn't read this way because they took Yahweh's name out and put God. So what Satan is telling you here is the same thing that she told Eve. Don't love Yahweh, love the gods. Be evil like the gods. You see how desirable this is? Well, it looks desirable, but it bites like a snake. You should have known I was a snake. You knew I was a snake. Why didn't you? What, you know the song? Remember the song? They sang about how they do things. You know, they're a snake. They're not going to treat righteousness. Yahweh says there is no justice in the world today. Now, look at verse 17 and you'll see what I said. Same thing the serpent told Eve. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient and you are drawn away to submit to the gods. Now, if that verse would have been put in Genesis 3 verse 6, and that's where you should put it, that verse right there, take it and put it in right after Genesis 3, verse 5, it will make a lot of sense. With the name Yahweh in it, verse 16, and the gods are in the right place here, in this verse 17. But in the King James Version, you'll see instead of Yahweh, love Yahweh, you'll see love the gods. What a neat trick, huh? Well, they took the book of Yahweh totally away from the people for 1,500 years. Then they gave them a book that taught them to love God. And then he says, Yahweh says, I've got an Oki that I'm training that's going to straighten this whole mess out. He's going to have a bunch of donkeys following. And they're going to do this work in the last days that will turn this whole earth around and take out 2 billion people. And Satan is powerless to stop it. She won't stop this one. I declare to you this day that you will surely perish. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witness. You see that? This trial. It's a trial. It's a heavenly court and a court here on earth. And this is what Satan and her sons went to present themselves before Yahweh and make their argument. And this went on for years before she was found a liar and was said there's no place left here for you. And, of course, she's put in her place now, but she's still given power over those who are following her. I call heaven and earth to witness this against you this day, that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses, and therefore choose life. Then verse 20, so you may love. And there again, if you had a King James, you would see Satan is teaching you to love gods. The evil, be evil like the gods, instead of love Yahweh and follow His righteousness. And of course, Yeshua now. Get this picture. Yeshua was prophesied to bring forth righteousness. And He did, and He lived. He lived it. He trained 12 disciples, only lost one that was prophesied to be lost, prophesied in advance, and then appointed others to take his place. And those donkeys wrote for us donkeys here. And this was brought forth to us in the way of a King James Version. But then Yahweh gave us the knowledge to straighten this out. And then the book of Yahweh comes into effect in 1987 for everyone to see what a mess that they had left, the deception that they had left, deceiving the whole world. Everybody worships God today. All 4,200 religions worship gods. And those who are using the name Yahweh, they're still worshiping gods. They haven't come out of the world. They haven't made their showing at the house of Yahweh. And until they do, they're worshiping the gods. So verse 20, so you may love Yahweh, your Father, by listening to Him, that is, to the speaker, whether it's the youngest one in the house of Yahweh or the oldest, listening to Him as He speaks from this stage, and obeying Him, hold fast to Him, for He is your life. There is no life outside of Yahweh. Now, quickly, let's go over to keep that in mind and everything else we brought here. And let's go over to Revelations, the ninth chapter. Remember Stephen's sermon that he gave before they stoned him to death. If that were you, you would stand strong like Stephen, right? Right? Praise y'all. Okay. He said, if you remember, Stephen says, your fathers have brought this down here to us today. And he said, and then Stephen, too, repeated the message, I'm going to take you away beyond Babylon. I'm going to give you a hole in the ground there. You're going to think you're safe. Yeshua says they're going to remove every stone from the house of Yahweh. Take the book of Yahweh. And all of its fixtures, all the lamp that stands for the last work, they took it too. and got it in Rome. So they can't say that Yahweh cheated in any way. Yahweh said, no, I'll let you do this. And I'm going to bring forth this Oki in the last days. Ha, ha, ha. What a laugh that was. And I'm going to train him up. This woman is going to train him up by lamplight, the old-fashioned way, pulling water from a well, milking, getting milk from the cow instead of from HEB, and from the goats, and so forth, raising the crops by hand, training him in all of these ways, and then he's going to establish the house of Yahweh. And this house of Yahweh, then, Yahshua is going to be the high priest over it, and working together with the house of Yahweh, this whole thing will be turned back to righteousness again. You can't beat that plan. Well, here now in chapter 9 of Revelation, now we see here, look at verse 19. He says, their power is in their mouth. Yes, they give orders with their mouth. Their sting follows them. The tail follows the mouth speaking. And their tails were similar to a scorpion's. Yes, they bite. They like a snake. They bite. And had heads, and with them they did hurt the earth. And this is what's going on in and around the river, Great Euphrates River, at this time. And the rest of the men, my book of Yahweh is getting old. today I use it up. And this one, if you could see the marks, maybe I can get it over here. It's pretty well marked up. I think there's two more in this Ark of the Covenant sitting right up here like this. But I'm going to have to change it because the words are getting to where I can't read them. But it says, verse 20 now, back to chapter 9 and verse 20. And the rest of the men who were not got killed of these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. Worship demons. Now these are the spirits that go forth deceiving the world, and they are led by the sons of Yahweh, and of course the serpent, and of course that's what Vatican means, is the divining serpent. Yahshua said, Satan is your teacher, and what your teacher tells you to do, that is what you're going to do. Revelation 13 shows that this old serpent gives the Vatican his power and authority. So at this time, we see that there's going to be a third part of man. This is back in 18, verse 18. Starts over with chapter 6, but with the quartet. In this time period we're in right now. But verse 18 shows a third part of men are going to be killed by this war that is coming from the quartet that they're getting ready, as the news was shown here today. It's also, I don't know if you're keeping up with it, but the allies of Russia are getting many, many. Now, the United States, they know that they got power to snuff out all of these that is lining up with Russia, which is about six nations, strong nations, that's lined up with Russia already, that's become their allies and saying we can make it without, they're agreeing they can make it without the United States, and secretly they're saying, we can make it without the Vatican. And of course, the ones the four kings. Out of the 14 kings, 10 followed the Vatican. The four kings of the other nations, they would not follow the Vatican. And now, as things progress, they see friction already among the 10 that is saying, that's already made their allegiance to the Vatican. While this is going on and the war that is prophesied that's going to take place is planned, we're looking for a city, for an earth, a new heaven and a new earth. No, this one is not going to be totally destroyed, nor the heavens with it is going. It won't either. But we're looking for a new earth to start another congregation that will grow and house millions of people. But about 1,000 years later now, this earth is going to be livable again. Yahweh is going to make it livable because we're going to resurrect the ones who have died that didn't make it, wasn't called. We're going to resurrect them, everyone, all your uncles and aunts and grandpas and everything, we're going to resurrect. And we're going to give them 100 years trial on an earth that we can show what brought it to that. I would say there's going to be a big percentage of them that Satan won't be able to deceive, but she is going to be loosed for 100 years. But that's after the 1,000 years that we're going to be working. Like now, Yeshua, you know, he's been up there getting ahead of us for 2,000 years. And I'm glad he's getting ahead of us because we need his help. And I guarantee you we need it bad. And are going to need it throughout all eternity. He'll always be ahead of us. But we have a big job to do, a big job. And, of course, it's never going to end. It's going to go on throughout all eternity because the beings that inhabit those heavens, they're going to be put in our control. But now these religions right here, the reason I brought you back to Revelation 9 and verse 20, these religions here, they're worshiping. You see what they're worshiping? Look at that. Verse 20. They're not worshiping Yahweh. And the King James Version even shows you that they're committing idolatry, which is God worship, but no one looks up that word idolatry. I don't know. I don't think my brother-in-law was able to understand this, even when I pointed it out to him. But notice they worship demons and gods. The same thing that was showed to Eve in Genesis, and of course in Eob we see the sons of Yahweh, which. Satan is pushing forward, even though they're evil, she's pushing them forward, trying to get the heavenly courts to accept them. Well, now their plan is to take them and the nations and try to destroy the earth and the heavens, and that way get rid of the house of Yahweh. That's her plan. And that is all shown here. Neither did they repent of their murders, nor their sorceries. After all of this has taken place, which is taking place right now, these wars are going on right now. People are dying by the thousands by these bombs right here that are going off, plus famine and disease epidemics. And they still won't repent. And the word sorcery there, the reason I want you to see that, it actually means pharmaceutical. It's number 5331 in Strong's Concordance, and it means pharmaceuticals. Well, every sixth bed in all the hospitals belong to the Vatican. And the Vatican is the leader of the kings of the earth. So you can see why that they're creating diseases. They want to get rid of the honeybees. They know the power in honey, and they know the power in the bees. Not as well as you do. One of the lessons that the priests are getting here right now is hands-on beekeeping. It's a very valuable lesson. I got it when I was 9 years old. My dad knew it. How did he know this? My dad was a very smart man. I didn't realize how smart the man was until a few years ago, and I got to thinking all the things that this man has taught me. Dad and mother. I think he was the smartest man on the face of the earth. He knew everything. There wasn't anything that that man couldn't fix, and most of it with a pair of pliers and some baling wire, but he got it fixed. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you.